listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch. With Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
On the couch with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. Got a great show for you today, as always. I've been waiting for this author so I can interview her because I'm really fascinated with the subject. And I know you guys are too out there. I get a lot of questions from people about dreams. What does that mean? Why do I keep dreaming about these people? I don't even know. Anyway, my guest today, call-in guest, is Dr. Jillian Holloway. She's the author of The Complete Dream Book. Oh, man, it's a great book. It'll tell you all about your dreams. You know, I mean, everything. What they mean, why you have them, what they're about, some of the research, and all that stuff. So we're going to be talking to her in just a little bit. And you can call in, but I really want to focus on what she's talking about. Of course, the number here is 323-203-0815. And of course, you can email me if you'd like to have any questions or, you know, if you want any comments about today's show or past shows, and or if you have any questions about what's going on with you, you know, psychologically. I get a lot of relationship questions. When we have our free-for-all Fridays, I usually end up answering mostly relationship questions for folks, 'cause that's what it's about, I guess. Speaking about which, coming up Valentine's Day this weekend. What you doing? What you doing out there, huh? I was just talking to a really nice lady here in the studio who was telling me that, you know, in America, we're really, it's commercialized. And she said she doesn't have to celebrate Valentine's Day necessarily and make a big deal of it, because with her man, it's love every day of the year. And I really like that. She's right. I agree. But she's got a good man. So, it's about, love. It's about, what are you doing? What are you going to, you know, show that special person? We don't have to buy lots of wonderful gifts for someone on Valentine's Day. You can just, show nice gestures, you know, go out to a simple dinner, but communicate with each other more than you ever have before, right? That's a nice Valentine's gift. Try to talk to each other. And understand each other and be kind to each other. That's a nice thing to do. Of course, jewelry's not bad. neither's chocolate, and I'll tell you why. That's what I'm leading up to. There's really good news for folks with a sweet tooth, especially chocolate lovers out there. So if you're going to give someone something for Valentine's Day, you might, if they can, you know, if they're not allergic to it, you might give them chocolate. According to a test that was released this morning, it's out of Canada, and it shows eating a bar of chocolate a week, I love this, may help slash a person's risk of stroke. Yep. The report published in this week's edition of the journal Neurology took a look at three prior studies. All right. One of the studies involved more than 44,000 people. Check this out. 44,000 people. Now, that's a pretty good study. I hope we got some random samples. Anyway, the folks who ate a serving of chocolate a week out of 44,000 people, 22% were less likely to have a stroke than those who ate none. Isn't that cool? All right, another study involving over 1,100 people found that those who ate a serving of chocolate a week, a bar of chocolate a week, were also 46% less, 46% less likely to croak after a stroke. And some health experts have suggested that compounds in chocolate, you know, the flavonoids, right? They have anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer properties. But they don't know for sure. But anyway, it just came out today. I was just reading it. The report's going to be presented at the American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting in Toronto. Brand new research. So my point to all this is if you're getting your loved one something for Valentine's Day, you'll be doing them a healthy thing by getting them chocolate. All right. How's that? Of course, if they have diabetes or something, you know, you need to stay kind of cool on that a little bit. Take care of yourself. Or if you have weight issues or, okay, I've just eliminated about 70% of the people in this country. So never mind. Don't give chocolate. No, no. But I just wanted to share that with you because I think it's really cool. So my guest today actually is Dr. Jillian Holloway. She's the author of The Complete Dream Book, and it's all about your dreams, what they mean, lots more. And her book is based on like over 28,000 real dreams. So this is the book. It's really comfortable, nice, fast-flowing, interesting reading, easy reading. It's like all you need to know about dreams in her book. So let's pop her up on the air. I think she's calling in right now. And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Michelle.
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Jillian Holloway calling in.
Jillian, it's so nice to have you with me today. I was just talking about your book.
And, oh, great.
It is actually the complete dream book. I mean, it is. Girl, how long did it take you to put that one together? That's an amazing study.
Oh, thank you. Well, it took me since 1995 to about 2000.
Wow.
So about 5 years.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so, you know, what I'm reading here, it's over 28,000 real dreams from folks. You compiled all this information and really kind of put this in your book, and this is what you came up with.
That's right. I thought it would be a kind of a breakthrough to use actual dreams and actual people's situations and leave the theoretical material out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is more real because, you know, you and I, you're a doctor, you're a psychologist, that you and I've heard about all these theories, dream theories, and nobody really knows sort of what it means. But I think the fact this is almost like getting data and really compiling information to help people understand themselves better, really.
Well, I think it helps to know that you're not the only person having this particular scenario crop up in a dream, and that it may be typical of you know, people who are going away to college, or people who are going through a divorce, or people who've lost a family member.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, let's just jump in here and let me just ask you something, Jillian, expert dream person.
I know, it's kind of funny, isn't it?
Well, it's cool. It's wonderful. It's fascinating. Why do we dream? I mean, why?
Well, I'm convinced that a huge function of our dreaming process is problem solving. And that it's really connected to our intuition and to making, you know how when you go to sleep with a problem, you sometimes wake up with a solution. It's as if you can connect the dots. While your racing thoughts are asleep, another part of your mind really does tackle the problem.
I love that.
And I think that's a huge part of it. Yeah.
They liken the brain to a computer. You know, it's processing a lot of information that when we're sleeping in that, I guess it's the REM stage that is the primary time when we're dreaming, right?
Right. You go through that REM cycle at least every 90 minutes throughout the night, and it gets longer.
Mm. Yeah. So we're dreaming, we're processing information, we're problem solving, basically. And I think that's really a great explanation for it, basically. I mean, you have Freud's theories, unfulfilled wishes. Yeah, well,
right.
I guess that's right. Part of it, but his was pretty, you know, woo, everything was a phallic symbol, right? And, you know.
Well, he worked, you know, he was the product of his culture and yes. his particular perspective.
Yeah.
And we're still being bombarded by our culture in every discipline, in every
right.
way we do research. But I think that he just had a part of the puzzle,
right. yes.
and he made the mistake that's so human, which is to generalize and say that everything works this way, and
exactly.
this is the one answer to all questions.
Right, right, I agree. And then, let's see, Carl Jung had his own, and Domoff was the dream expert, the researcher, and it basically saying that it reflects the thoughts and concerns of a dreamer's waking life, like you're saying. That's like the most generally accepted theory. And Gestalt says you have to become every part of your dream. What Pearls was like into you're dreaming about a computer, so you become the computer, and how do you feel? You know, you become
yeah.
everything in your dream. But that's cool, too. Like you said, it's all part of everything is a good idea, you know, that these researchers come forward with. But I love your book, The Complete Dream Book, here, because it really lays out so much information, folks. And I know for me and a lot of my clients, they love to talk about their dreams. But why is it important for us to understand our dreams?
It's important because your dreams are really, there's two things. They're on your side.
Mm-hmm.
This is a part of your mind that's biased towards your happiness, even
mm-hmm.
more than you are consciously,
mm-hmm.
which is why sometimes little things get blown into huge magnification in our dreams because they're more important to you than you realized.
Right.
Or you're not taking time for yourself, and your dreams will show you running around trying to find a way to just take a bath and relax, and you get interrupted 95 times in the dream when you go to take a bath. That's
uh-huh.
an exaggerated cartoon, but it's very real.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. No, it's very important to understand what's going on with us then. And so this book is really complete. It's easy reading, though, and it's really fun because it moves, and you want to just keep finding out more about, you know, why do we dream about certain people, and what are regular symbols and things, who are some of these people we don't know and things like that. But in your book, how did you go about gathering your information about what dreams mean?
Well, I'm blessed with a compulsive personality. So
yes.
from the time I started working with people's dreams, I started keeping copious notes, not
mm-hmm.
only of what, you know, typically you have a conversation, you have a dialogue,
right,
and it's
right.
not that the expert decides what it means. It's that mutually, through discussing it, you come up with some pretty good ideas on what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I've kept copious notes from the late 80s.
Wow.
And also, when the internet started, I started asking people to send me their dreams and fill out forms that give me lots of demographic
mm-hmm.
information, their age, their occupation, whether they feel stressed, whether something's mm. wrong with the relationship. And I started to see, wait a minute, these dream scenarios,
mm-hmm.
losing your car, falling off the edge of a cliff,
yeah.
they're not just accidents from indigestion. They
mm-hmm.
really do correlate with certain life stresses.
Right, right. And no, you're right. I mean, there was all those studies out, what, on certain things going on within the body, you know, you have a stomach upset or a headache or whatever, and you kind of tweak a dream because, you know, these physiological problems, you know, and things like that. But truly, it is stuff going on in the conscious mind. Are you a believer? So you're a believer in the subconscious that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a lot of things that are veiled or in the subconscious to us, which we really haven't brought to the conscious state to recognize. So they appear in the dream state. So
that's right.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not just that we are, you know, in denial,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I think it's that we're just busy.
Right. Right. And exactly. I think that's a really good explanation for it, too. I mean, that's the classic psychoanalytic, you know, you're in denial about, you know, a lot of things going on. But you're right, we are.
Right.
We're very busy, and we don't have, I guess we think about what we have to do and put the other stuff aside and focus on our daily tasks and needs and all that. The brain's just, you know, working overtime and can only handle so much information.
Well, that's right. And so even some of our dreams that are gory or they're macabre, like you've killed someone and you have to bury the body before anyone discovers it. You can't quite remember why or what you were thinking or what happened, but you've just got this body to bury.
Right.
That is a dream that upsets people, of course, because you don't know, well, I guess I'm, you know, I have this secret homicidal tendency.
Right.
But in fact, that dream seems to correlate with people who have put something very beloved on the back burner early in life, whether it was your desire to write books or your desire to have a family or your religious affiliation, something got shunted aside. And in fact, the dreaming mind is saying, hey, this was very precious to you, and you kind of murdered it to survive.
Wow.
And so that's where the tension of that dream comes from. To kind of wake you up to that fact.
That's cool. And you can actually, you know, in this book, you kind of actually tell people how to think about those things that, you know, and what they mean. And so people can really get clarification on, whoa, she's right. You know, I put a lot of this stuff behind in my life in order to just, you know, get through and focus and survive and all that. But now that I really kind of recognize bringing it, it's coming out in my dreams. So I am not a murderer. I'm not secretly
an antisocial
crazy person, you know. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. There's a little time delay on my phone here, but dreams tend to be a little on the violent side and a little on the gory side.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, things that are happening to us in our lives tend to be depicted by things happening to your body.
So whenever,
you know, you get a surprise, you might have a point-blank gunshot wound, or if someone betrays you, you might get stabbed in the back. If you're starting a new chapter in your life, you might be pregnant or delivering a baby.
Right.
Things tend to become physicalized in our dreams.
Right.
And that's upsetting to people.
Oh, sure it is.
But once you look at, you know, this is what America is dreaming about overall, you see, oh my goodness, everybody's having these highly physical dreams, and it doesn't, you know, it's not as negative as it seems in the dream. In fact, it's usually about a current situation you're struggling with.
Yes. Now, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. Now, this is a little off subject, but I just, you know, thought of something. Do you suppose that, you know, with so many violent movies and programs that we're exposed to, and our kids especially, they're exposed to, do you think that this is going to create more? I mean, along with a lot of, you know, what you're talking about causes violent dreams, which basically probably are subconscious fears. Do you suppose that this is going to maybe instigate more violent dreams with the vivid imagery we see in movies these days? Even PG-13 movies are violence, you know what I'm saying, for kids and stuff?
Sure. Well, there's no question. I mean, the research shows pretty solidly that overstimulation, which we don't realize how overstimulated we are from movies and television and just the news, not to mention all the things on the computers, that correlates highly with nightmares.
Mm. Right.
Both in kids and in adults who are fairly sensitive personality types.
Mm-hmm.
So just going out on a date and seeing a violent movie and you know, where does your nervous system put that adrenaline and that imagery? So that triggers nightmares for a lot of people. A lot of my clients are people who have chronic nightmares, but they have no trauma.
Really?
And they can't, they're like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
It's really overstimulation.
Wow, that is really interesting. And you have a psychological practice, right? And you do help people with dream therapy.
Yes,
great.
I teach at the college level, and I also help people individually and with groups.
Oh, that's terrific. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in, you are listening to the country's number one talk station, LATalkRadio.com. And you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Jillian Holloway. I'm sorry, Jillian. She's the author of The Complete Dream Book. It's an amazing compilation of information about dreams, why, what they mean. And it really, for me, it really helped me understand a lot more about dreams and what they are, rather than try to muddle through some of these theories, you know, that have been put forth. This is really good information, folks. So let me just quickly ask you, how can folks, while they're listening to the show, how can they find out more about you and your book? the Complete Dream Book?
Well, the book is, of course, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If they're interested in finding out more information on dreams and my practice, they can go to lifetreks.com. That's LIFETREKS.
Okay.
There's lots of free information there, and if they have dreams that they'd be willing to send into my database, I'd love to hear from them. I'll try to write back to them and answer any questions they have. There's a link on the website that says the research needs your dreams. And it's all free, so just jump around.
Oh, that's great. All righty. Well, let's keep on going here because there's so much good stuff that I want to ask you about. What does it mean, Jillian, when we have recurring elements in our dreams?
Well, there's two kinds of recurring dreams, Michelle. One is the lifelong theme that people report having a dream that they've had ever since they can remember, and they'll have it once a year or a couple of times a year.
Right.
Those types of themes, there are several classic themes, but they tend to correlate with your personality and the way that you handle stress.
Oh.
So when you have a challenge on the horizon, you'll have that dream again of your teeth falling out or the tornadoes coming and being the only person in town who will take it seriously.
Yes.
And so that's it's as if we revisit our roadblocks a little bit occasionally. And the recurring dream seems to be reiterating a way that we get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say that you can't handle things at all. Usually people are guilty of being the heroic personality type where they try to handle everything themselves without reaching out for support when they need it.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. That's really
the second type. Yeah, the second type of recurring dream is the rapid onset crisis dream, where all of a sudden you dream over and over again that there's a burglar trying to break into your house, or that you have lost your car, or that you're lost in a big city that you've never been in, and you ask people for directions and they give you the wrong directions.
Right.
You get on a train going the wrong way. Those are all peak stress dreams, and they usually correlate with a situation in which you're thrown into the deep end.
Right. Right. And in a sense, it's just, it keeps kind of hitting, saying, you know, I still have this going on. Now, people who, let's say, would come to you, would talk about this ongoing crisis or these dreams that they're having, you know, this recurring dream, either the hero or the crisis dream. And if it were the crisis dream, I mean, the hero wouldn't be so bad after all. That'd be great to have those dreams. But the crisis dream, after therapy and just kind of working through and finding out what, you know, the main problems might be within them, would they stop dreaming these dreams?
The dreams, they may stop or they may just change.
Huh.
Our recurring dreams kind of evolve over time, which is interesting. There is one woman that I know of that had dreams from early childhood. She had a traumatic childhood.
Mm.
And when she would get stressed as an adult, although she was very successful, she would dream of being caught in a hurricane while she was riding roller skates.
Oh, my gosh.
So you can imagine the struggle that she had to keep her equilibrium.
Oh, yeah.
And when she was faced with stress, even positive stress, even success and expansion of her business, she would have that dream of being on roller skates in a storm. And we talked about that as a cue for her to really pay attention to her personal equilibrium as an individual
and
do a lot of self-care while she was advancing, rather than just to leave her vulnerability by the side of the road and soldier on like a hyperhero, as we're taught to do.
Right. Yeah, that's really true. And there are a lot of common, like you said, the hurricane, the teeth falling out, the burglar scenario, you know, you're lost. Boy, I've been lost a lot of times in my dreams. You know? And nobody's giving me information. You know, it's not fair, is it? Please tell me. And they'll each have different little distinct, you know, things to say, but they're not quite giving me the information I need, you know. So it's fascinating stuff. So, okay, something that I hear a lot is people have dreams about folks. Many people are one or two in their dreams, and they've never met them in person. They feel close. They feel like they have a relationship, and there's a familiarity and comfort or not. Mm-hmm. And they wake up and they have these people's faces in conversations, and they wake up and say, I don't even know who these people are. What does that mean when we have those kind of dreams?
Isn't that funny? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes there's two ways to address that. Sometimes the individual has an identity or a role. If it's a judge or a policeman or a nurse or a doctor, you can assume that they are a stand-in, a generic character that is a kind of a place marker in your dream for the quality of an authority figure or a healer or your need for attention to yourself.
Yes.
So that's one thing, but that's usually fairly obvious. Mm-hmm. And I call those just the generic characters from central casting that come in. Sometimes they're gangsters, whatever. But I think what you're referring to is when you have an emotional connection with someone, it's your best friend or your lover or some, you know, almost your soulmate, and you wake up and it's like, well, too bad they don't exist.
Cause we were really exactly.
Well,
I have this. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Do you have a dream like that?
No, I have a client who used to tell me about, she'd have party dreams. I mean, not, you know, I mean like really social dreams where she'd go to these gatherings. Mm-hmm. And there would be several people who she had these really emotional, personal, sometimes romantic connections with. And it would frustrate her because she didn't know any of these people. So it was, you know, she carried the what I call residue of that feeling all day of the, gee, these friends are so nice. You know, I had such a good time with them at the party last night, but I don't know who they are. So,
Well, sometimes those dreams are providing us with emotional nutrition.
Yes.
And sometimes they are connecting us with actual aspects of our own personality that we have lost touch with. Mm. And so they actually help to forge and integrate traits that you have that you've kind of left behind.
Right.
And I also believe that occasionally we have telepathic connections in our dreams where we do connect with people, even though we haven't met them yet or even though we may never meet them.
Yes. Now,
some of those are quite real experiences, I suspect.
Yeah, so because you've done so much research and you've gathered information that a lot of people do this. I mean, there are psychic people. I guess do you suppose in that dream state we're more susceptible to not we're just more susceptible to allowing the abilities that would go with being psychic in? Is that what you think it's about? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You've hit it exactly. Mm-hmm. The research indicates that we are fairly telepathic when we're in the dream state.
Mm.
Why that is, we don't know. But there are so many well-documented cases that it's, I mean, you can be skeptical of it if you wish to, but it's really irrefutable as far as the numbers of people that have had that experience. And one of the things that happens to me a lot when I go to do a workshop is that the night before I will dream of someone that I've never met before. We'll have a nice conversation and it'll be quite vivid. The next day I'll go to the workshop and in the audience, one of the participants will be that person that I met in the dream the night before.
This
has been happening for years and years and years very regularly, and I document it in my dream journal. And so I know that we are making some kinds of connections in our dreams that are not well explored yet in the research.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's really it's very promising, I think. I don't know if it's really scary or not. I mean, do people come to you kind of feeling scared because they predicted certain things? I mean, certain things are inevitable. I mean, you know, the dreams about the death of my father, but he's been ill for 3 years or, you know, things like that. But do people have discomfort with that sometimes?
They certainly do, especially if they have had a premonition dream that subsequent events, either a death of someone or a large event. A lot of people contact me after the 9/11 tragedy, a lot of people seem to be connected with very, very large events that happen in the public eye. So, and I think that's natural as a species that we would almost feel the echo of something that was about to happen.
Wow.
And the more I encounter this, the more I think there's nothing really woo-woo about it.
Right.
It's not spooky. It's probably a part of our collective instinctual nature that we should know about. This is something that could save us from earthquakes if we were still in touch with it.
Right.
But I think it's diminished as we've become industrialized and technological.
Hmm. You know, it reminds me of, when you talk about that, it reminds me of the Aborigines when they talk about dream time, you know, and they communicate with each other telepathically, like you said, about what's going on in the future or what lies ahead for the families or, you know, and they call it dream time. They go into a dream state,
right,
per se, and then they can communicate telepathically, psychically, and predict future things, so. That's very good.
Yeah, it's fascinating. One of the things I ask people on my website is, if you believe this dream was psychic, have other members of your family had paranormal experiences?
Oh,
and overwhelmingly, there is a correlation. People who are having telepathic experiences in their dreams, other family members have had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reports of people who have dreams, you know, a woman dreamt that she was bleeding, and the next day she got a call from her daughter who was in the hospital who had hemorrhaged during the night.
Oh my goodness.
So she picked up on that in some way.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, we dream about family members first and their safety and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So that argues that there is a biological connection about having advance notice in terms of protecting your family.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. It really does. Do a lot of people come to you speaking about the paranormal, I mean, do they talk about, you know, being having lost loved ones in their dreams a lot and thinking that there's some kind of connection between, you know, the other side with their lost loved ones? Do you hear a lot of this?
I hear a lot of that. In fact, I'm studying that. I have been for several years, and this summer I'm going to present a paper to the International Association for the Study of Dreams about that, along with some other colleagues, because it is something that we hear a lot of, and those dreams are quite distinct and different from just dreaming about someone, who's deceased.
Yes.
We suspect that these may actually be after-death communication events because the phenomenon of the dream is so different.
Yes.
They're usually there's just a one-on-one conversation.
Right.
The dream is very vivid. Mm-hmm. You can palpably feel the other person's presence.
Yes.
Often there is a hug or physical contact.
Yes.
And the most important of all, when the dreamer wakes up, they don't feel sad.
Right.
They're not struck once again by a wave of grief. Instead,
right,
they feel peaceful,
yes,
and sometimes for the first time since their loss, they feel a sense of, like, in some way, this is okay, and in some way, my loved one is okay. Now, you know how difficult it is to change the way you feel or to get past grief.
Oh, yes.
That is definitely not the soup that is swimming inside the person when they have that dream. This dream seems to come from somewhere else and imbue them with a sense of hope.
Right. So it's not that just working through someone's passing dream. It is definitely, it has all these really vivid elements in it. And you know, I can, you've probably had them too, but my father passed away 3 years ago. And I have these dreams where he is, I mean, he's sitting there. He has, it's so detailed. And his essence. And he gives me these messages that are wonderful, communicative, and profound. And I feel peaceful. I feel extremely peaceful after having one of those dreams. Like, oh, thanks, Dad, for that information. You know, thanks a lot.
Yes.
I appreciate that. That was really, that was very insightful. I appreciate that, you know. So I always felt that there's some kind of a component as well. And I've heard this from a lot of clients, too. So that's fascinating.
Yes.
I would love
to
find out when you're going to be presenting that and read about that, because that would just be wonderful. I mean, it would really help a lot of people, I think.
Well, I think so, too. People have been taught to be ashamed and to keep that secret, especially people who know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that you know in your heart there was something real about that.
Yes.
And so they don't want to talk about it because they don't want someone to denigrate that or to dismiss it.
Right.
So one of the things I hope to accomplish is to set the stage for giving permission to talk about this and have a conversation.
That's neat. That's really great. And I think a lot of people will be just fascinated by it because they all, you know, have that experience in their dreams. It's coming Valentine's Day here, so let's talk about romantic and sexual dreams. It's kind of a no-brainer, I guess, for everybody, but what as a dream expert, what do you think they represent?
Well, there are a couple of things that are going on with our romantic and sexual dreams. Mm-hmm. And one is that, remember I touched on the fact that the physical tends to be the way everything is represented.
Yeah.
So when we're making a connection of any kind, mm-hmm. Financial, emotional, professional, energetic, you know, you're getting back in shape after mm-hmm. the new year and going to the gym, you may have a dream of having a romantic relationship with someone who is a famous athlete.
Uh-huh.
And you think, well, I wish I could meet them. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But in fact, what the mind is depicting is that you are getting in touch with sort of your inner athlete, if you will.
Very
and that is a romantic dream that I encounter over and over and over again with people, especially if person is a celebrity.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the person in your dream is a celebrity, mm-hmm. Famous for a particular thing.
Uh-huh. What that
so
person might
one
represent.
Woman was going through a divorce, and she started dreaming about John Travolta, whom she really didn't think of as he was not her ideal man. So she said, "What's up with that?" And I said, "Well, what kinds of things are you getting into?" And she was taking dancing lessons, all kinds of dancing lessons, and having a ball. And for her, John Travolta, you know, it dated back to his early career. She really identified him as a great dancer and a fun person who had fun with dancing. So that dream was showing her, you know, you go for it. You're having a ball with this dancing, and go ahead and get into it, dive into it. So it wasn't about sex, and it wasn't about having a crush on John Travolta. It was about getting in touch with some part of herself that was all about fun with dancing.
That is really fascinating. I love that. And a lot of, you know, women have come to me and say, oh, I feel so guilty. I had a sexual dream about my boyfriend from when I was 19, you know, and they're in their 40s.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I feel so guilty because I'm laying here next to my husband and, you know, I woke up and I went, ew, that was weird. Why am I doing that? I'm not thinking about him per se. I'm not fantasizing about him anymore. Why did I have that sexual dream?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that happened that happens is that the dreaming mind, for whatever reason, captures an emotional marker, and for our first great experience with whatever, your first great job, your first public speech, and your first serious love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person becomes the emblem. It's almost like a postage stamp for the relationships that you have subsequently through life. Mm-hmm. And it's very typical for women to, when they're having a good time in their current relationship, they'll dream of having a wonderful time with their first love.
Interesting.
When they're having difficulties in their relationship, they'll dream that their first love is, for some reason, he's back, but he's giving them the cold shoulder.
Interesting.
He's ignoring them, dismissing them, or he's in love with someone else, and they'll feel that hurt just like they did when they were 19.
Okay.
So that original love, it's not about still holding a torch for him.
Mm-hmm.
So much as it is just being symbolic of what's going on in your current love life.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, that's great. That is so interesting. And because I think people tend to think, oh, well, I have a secret, you know, like Freud would say, a wish fulfillment, you know, an unfulfilled wish. And, you know, I secretly do want to have. No, it really does reflect, I think. That makes a lot of sense, what people are going through now.
Yes. So. You put it so well because all you have to do if you have a dream like that is ask yourself point blank, well, do I still have the hots for so-and-so? Or, well, would I like to run off with, you know, the next-door neighbor? And if the answer is no, then you can totally trust yourself that the dream is symbolic and it's about something else.
Right. That is so interesting. By the way, if you just tuned in, everybody, you're listening to LATalkRadio.com and you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today is Jillian Holloway. She is the author of The Complete Dream Book. And folks, if you would like to find out more or get the book, of course, Barnes & Noble, anywhere bookstore, you can get Amazon.com. And Dr. Holloway's, you can find more about her at lifetreks.com. That's LIFETREKS.com. And we're still talking, though. I want to get a little bit more information from you for this book. So, you know, my listeners love, I get a lot of questions about dreams and why, mm-hmm. why would I do this and why would I think this? And so what are some of the most, I mean, I read about common dream symbols and you have so many amazing examples in your book. What are some of the most common dream symbols that you see or hear about and what do they mean?
Well, as I mentioned, the most common symbol is probably your body,
yes.
something going on with your body.
Yep.
People, women especially, dream a lot of going into the bathroom and they look at themselves in the mirror and they, for some reason they look different. If you normally have short hair, all of a sudden, whoops, you look like Daryl Hannon. You've got hair all the way down to your bottom. Those types of dreams signal that you're feeling differently about yourself at that given point in time. And usually if you've suddenly been doing well and you feel better, then you'll notice something in the mirror and like, wow, I look a lot hotter than I kind of really thought I did. Those are great dreams to have. And especially young women are prone to that because, of course, your self-esteem fluctuates day by day when you're young.
That's so true. I love it. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I love it when I have those dreams of, you know, I think I'm 20 again, and I have those dreams that I'm 20 again, and I wake up and I go, oh, darn.
Well, that was fun.
that was fun for a little while.
Yeah.
But so the body is one of the major symbols that you hear about in dreams.
Absolutely is. Mm-hmm. And so you can count. I just want to tell people, because sometimes you'll have gross things like, you know, there's a little bump on your skin and it turns out to be a nest of spiders that pop out and crawl all over you. And they're just gross.
Yeah, they are.
But those are always about something that's going on in your life that just feels overwhelming at the moment and kind of creeps you out.
Mm.
So you try not to be disgusted about your dream.
Right.
Another really common one that bothers people is the dreams of the toilet situation.
Right.
Where you're looking to go to the restroom, you may be out in public, and when you finally get to a lavatory, it's all filled up and it's gross and you know, it's something that you think, I can't deal with this. I've got to go elsewhere. It's just so horrible in there. Well, that is the dream of the informal social worker. This is the person who takes care of everybody else's problems, but when it comes to her own needs, for some reason there never seems to be time or space or permission to take care of yourself. And I hear that a lot of my clients are therapists. And I hear that dream a lot. And everybody's horrified. And everybody thinks they're the only person who had that gross dream. So you could kind of let go of that.
That's interesting. What else, Jillian?
Well, the houses are common dreams. Especially if we've got something going on where your personal space is being invaded or your career has kind of canceled out your personal life for a while. Mm-hmm. Those are the dreams when it feels like something from outside is trying to invade your house. A bad guy is coming in the window or just something scary is happening. Home invasion dreams are more common for men, actually, because they feel a greater sense of heroism to try and handle every eventuality. So when they're feeling stressed by outside pressures, they tend to have the home invasion dreams even more than women do. Another really common stress dream for women is that of trying to dial the phone, trying to dial 911, and you can't get anybody to help you. The operator is doing her nails and won't put your call through, or they won't send the ambulance or the police. It's just you can't seem to get help. And that's a dream, a crisis dream that people seem to have when they're actually not reaching out for the help that they need. So in the dream, you are both the person who's screaming for help, and you are the person who is ignoring the request for help. So that's a sign that you need to, hey, get off the dime and reach out.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
But I've talked to folks before who've had that just kind of, it's such a helpless feeling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the houses and we got the famous toilet dream and we've got all the body dreams. And what are some of the other ones?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the dream of losing your teeth or having some catastrophe around your teeth. Sometimes they pop out and you spit them into your hand like chiclets. Sometimes they crumble and turn to chalk dust in your mouth. Or sometimes you run your tongue around in your mouth and you, oops, a tooth pops out and then it bleeds. And along with that, I mean, it's bad enough losing your teeth, but in the dream, it's there, for some reason, it's kind of shameful.
Yes.
And people have to deal with it, but they also don't want anyone to know.
Right.
And so they're trying to, like, spit the blood into the sink and
right.
and figure out how they're going to go to the office today and not have anybody know that they've lost all their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dream that is very common from the age of 15 to about 35.
Wow.
Both men and women have it. It seems to coincide with being in a situation where you've got to deal with something that just is eroding your soul.
Right, right.
And you're stuck with it
wow.
for whatever reason. Sometimes
right.
it's a good reason, sometimes it's not so
mm-hmm,
good. It
mm-hmm.
runs the gamut between,
yeah.
you know, dealing with, you started college and found out you don't like it, but you're going to stick with it,
right.
all the way
right.
to being in a negative situation where you're in an abusive situation, but you've got little kids.
Wow.
So you're going to wait until they get a little older
right.
before you execute
yeah.
your plan to get the heck out of there.
Right.
But
right.
whatever it is, it's kind of eroding you. And for some reason, teeth seem to represent a part of, you know, your spirit,
mm-hmm.
Part of your heart and soul. And when,
yeah.
when we're losing them, it's just an indicator that you need to turn your attention. If you can't get out of the situation, then you really need to take supremely good care of yourself.
Oh,
try
yeah.
and bolster your support system in whatever way you can.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, really interesting, and very common. I hear that, the,
yes.
the teeth things. Well, there's
yes.
a lot of folks who say, well, I don't really dream. I don't remember that I dream, and I don't really dream. Is that true? Are people just dreaming and not really remembering them, or why do they not remember their dreams?
You're exactly right, Michelle.
Yeah.
They are dreaming and not remembering them.
Okay.
Really, about 50% of the population doesn't have very good recall of their dreams.
Yeah.
It's associated with personality traits.
Hmm.
The more literal thinking, the more kind of technical thinking
right.
people with what we call thick boundaries
right.
Can be very highly intelligent, highly creative, but they tend not to remember information that is ephemeral
mm-hmm.
or disconnected by day, and so they don't remember things that seem fragmented
mm-hmm.
in their dreams.
Interesting.
So it's perfectly normal, and
mm-hmm,
you can get
sure.
along fine without remembering your dreams.
Sure.
It's not necessary, but if you do remember your dreams, you can actually benefit a great deal, I think, by understanding them, paying
mm-hmm.
attention to them. If
right.
you want to enhance dream recall,
mm-hmm.
Watch movies. Renting movies seems to, or going to the movies, seems to help dream recall.
Cool.
Reading fiction seems to help.
Wow.
Talking about dreams seems to help. If you can get other people to tell you about a dream they've had, it will often trigger a memory of your own.
Oh,
so
right.
part of it is habit and lifestyle as well.
Right. Wow, that's really interesting. That's a great idea. Those are really good suggestions. It makes really a lot of sense, you know, to do that. I've had people say to me that they were told by dream experts that if they have recurring nightmares, to wake up and change the outcome in their conscious mind of that dream. Remember the dream and when they wake up, change the outcome. In other words, you know, you're sitting in your house and these horrible people come in and they burglarize your home and they're violent and they're change the outcome. So you
mm-hmm.
change what you're sitting in your home and your next door neighbor comes and brings you or the burglar's bag on your door and they're pushing through, but it's your neighbor bringing you cookies or, you know, can people really do that? And then from then on, do they go back to sleep and or does the nightmare continue to recur?
Well, what you're talking about is called dream rescripting in most circles, and it was developed by Barry Krakow in Arizona, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses it a lot with people who have post-traumatic nightmares.
Right.
So this works very well if you have cyclical nightmares where you just repeat the same bad dream over and over again. It's best to do the process of changing the ending of your dream,
right.
not when you're trying to sleep at night, but the next day. Write down your dream, and then halfway through, when you get to the part that really sucks,
right.
you want to give yourself that happy ending.
Right.
Then read it through over and over again, and imagine it in your mind's eye happening that way, so
right.
that you set yourself up so that the next time you start that pattern, you will be like a train jumping onto another track,
wow.
and you'll have the happy ending instead of the bad ending that you've been stuck with. And he has great success with this process.
Oh, that's a great idea. It really is. Well, listen, Jillian, we're just about out of time, but I just wanted to, folks, if you're listening, I'm talking to Dr. Jillian Holloway. She's the author of The Complete Dream Book. This is based on a database of over 28,000 real dreams. So if you want to learn about yourself, your dreams, what they mean, this is it, folks. And you can also, you can buy the book, of course. You can go to any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, of course, Amazon.com has it. And if you'd like to contact Dr. Holloway, you can find her lifetreks.com. That's LIFETREKS.com. So, did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Hey, it's been really great. Time has gone really fast, and I sure appreciate you calling in and really insightful information. I hope a lot of people, and I'm sure they will, get a lot out of this. So, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
All right. You take good care, Dr. Holloway, and I'm looking forward to your report on psychic dreams.
All right. I'll get back to you on that. Thanks, Michelle.
All righty. Take good care now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, we're just about out of time. But that was awesome. I love that information. I love dream therapy, and I love finding out about ourselves based on what we're dreaming, because it is part of our minds, hidden in the subconscious. So think about those things. And you might pick up this book, because it really is like, it's chock full of information about why we dream and what we dream about, all right? Listen, everybody, I'm gone. It's Dr. Michelle. You've been on the couch with me, as you always are Friday at this time. And, of course, you can download the show if you want to listen again as many times as you like. You can find me on my website, Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy.com. Of course, you can just link on to the website page here on latalkradio.com, the country's most listened to internet talk station. Have a wonderful day, and do take care of yourself first. Bye-bye.